Welcome to the Daily Tour Podcast for the 2010 Amgen Tour of California. The Daily Tour Podcast is powered by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast and Bicycle.net, and hosted by me, David Bernstein from the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. I'll be your host for daily coverage of this year's race. Once again, we'll ride with the pros and bring you coverage of some of the best bicycle racing in the world as the Peloton makes its way from Nevada City in the north to Thousand Oaks in the south. Over 8 stages, 800 miles, and tens of thousands of feet of climbing. The Daily Tour is brought to you by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast at www.thefredcast.com and powered by the resources of Bicycle.net. For your weekly audio dose of cycling news, culture, interviews, product reviews, and more, listen and subscribe to the Fredcast. And for more cycling news, product reviews, original cycling essays, go to Bicycle.net or subscribe to their RSS feeds. And now, here's today's episode of the Daily Tour Podcast. Welcome back, Daily Tour fans, Bicycle.net fans, and Fredcast fans. It is the wrap-up of the 2010 Amgen Tour of California. Hey, everybody, it's David from the Fredcast, and we are recording this Monday, May 24th, 2010. And I have to be honest with you, I'm having a little bit of a letdown today. After a week of, well, for the most part, glorious weather, and for every day, phenomenal racing, I have to admit, I miss the circus. It has been a great week, and I am going to bring you up to date on exactly what happened at this year's 2010 Amgen Tour of California. And to do that, we're going to talk a little bit about how we got to the final stage 8, which was a circuit through Thousand Oaks, Westlake, and Agoura Hills, California, up the challenging Rockstore climb and Mulholland Highway down a very fast and twisty descent, and then doing it all again a total of 4 times. Going into stage 8, it was a tight race, and as Dave Zabriskie commented at the end of stage 7, the downtown time trial, the individual time trial in downtown Los Angeles, Dave Zabriskie saying essentially, it ain't over until it's over. And he was absolutely right, because what we saw on stage 8 was what race announcer Dave Toll calls the gladiators of the road. And it was a battle indeed. Now, going into stage 8, the general classification still had Michael Rogers from Australia and HTC Columbia sitting in first place in the general classification at 29 hours, 46 minutes, and 6 seconds. The aforementioned Dave Zabriskie from the Garmin squad was just 9 seconds back, and 3-time defending Tour of California champion Levi Leipheimer from Team Radio Shack was in third place, 25 seconds back. In fourth place, Jens Voigt from Team Saxo Bank and Rory Sutherland from United Healthcare, presented by Maxis, was in fifth. Chris Horner from Team Radio Shack was in sixth. In seventh, a phenom of the 2010 Amgen Tour of California, Peter Sagan from Liquigas. In eighth, Dave Zabriskie's teammates, Ryder Hegdahl. In ninth, Levi Leipheimer's teammate, Janich Brockovic. And in 10th place, Ryder Hegdahl and Dave Zabriskie's teammate, Tommy Danielson. And he was sitting at 2 minutes, 21 seconds back. Well, it's entirely possible that there are those of you out there who may not have been listening to the entire Daily Tour podcasts during the 2010 Amgen Tour of California, so let's just take a couple of minutes to recap how we got here. This all began last Sunday, May 16th, in Nevada City, California, with a 104-mile stage from Nevada City to Sacramento, which was, you will recall, one by Mark Cavendish from Team HTC Columbia, making it look very easy at the end as he pipped JJ Hayato from Saxo Bank at the line, showing why Mark Cavendish is widely regarded as the fastest man in the world, at least on a bicycle. Stage two on Monday was a 110-mile stage from Davis, that famed bicycle town in Northern California, to Santa Rosa, the home of defending champion Levi Leipheimer. And it just seems like every time the Amgen Tour of California heads into Santa Rosa, the roads are wet and it is rainy and cold for the entire stage. And that's exactly what happened, despite the fact that race organizers had hoped to avoid inclement weather when they moved the race from February to May, conflicting with the Giro d'Italia. Mark Cavendish went into the stage in the golden leader's jersey of the 2010 Amgen Tour of California, but at the line, it was Brett Lancaster from Cervelo Test who took the victory, with Peter Sagan from Team Liquigas hot on his heels, and in third place was Lars Boom from Rabobank. At that point, Lancaster took over in the golden leader's jersey, and Peter Sagan was 4 seconds back in second place, and Carl Menzies from United Healthcare, presented by Maxis, was in third in the same time. The sun came out for Stage 3 on Tuesday, May 18th, as the riders went from San Francisco to Santa Cruz. A bit of drizzle along the way, but by the time they reached the finish in Santa Cruz, the sun was out, and it was an exciting finish indeed. On the way to Santa Cruz, the riders had to summit the Bonnie Doon climb, famed for last year's work by Levi Leipheimer that catapulted him into the golden leader's jersey that he never gave up all the way to the final stage of the 2009 Tour of California. This time, Levi Leipheimer did make a move on Bonnie Doon. So did Michael Rogers from HTC Columbia. And so did Dave Zabriskie from Garmin Transitions. Now, Andy Schleck from Saxo Bank initially looked like he was going to make the cut as well, but it was those three who made it up and over Bonnie Doon and to the finish line, with Dave Zabriskie taking the stage win, followed by Michael Rogers and Levi Leipheimer. That victory catapulted Dave Zabriskie into the golden leader's jersey, with Michael Rogers 4 seconds back and Levi Leipheimer 6 seconds back. Stage four on Wednesday was a 121.5-mile kick from San Jose to Modesto, and it began with the difficult Sierra Road climb just 8 miles past the starting line. At the end of the day, despite a break that went away that was caught just before the finish, it was a day for the sprinters, this time the stage being taken by Francesco Cicci from Team Liquigas, second place going to JJ Hayato of Saxo Bank, and third going to HTC Columbia's Mark Cavendish. As a result of that finish, however, Dave Zabriskie from Garmin Transitions retained the golden leader's jersey, Michael Rogers staying in second place 4 seconds back, and Levi Leipheimer still in third 6 seconds back of Dave Zabriskie from Garmin Transitions. Stage 5 on Thursday went from Visalia to Bakersfield over 121.5 miles, and this one ended in yet another sprint finish as Dave Zabriskie started the lead out and unfortunately started too soon, and it was the young gun Peter Sagan in the white jersey of the best young rider so far of the 2010 Amgen Tour of California coming across the line first. And as has been noted by many, it was a double loss by Zabriskie. Not only did he lose the stage, but in doing so, he also lost the golden leader's jersey. First place across the line was Peter Sagan. Second was Mick Rogers from Team HTC Columbia, followed by Dave Zabriskie and Chris Horner. And at the end of the day, it was Michael Rogers who took over the golden leader's jersey of the Amgen Tour of California, with Dave Zabriskie and Levi Leipheimer right behind him on the GC. Stage 6 on Friday was the Queen Stage from Palmdale to Big Bear Lake, originally scheduled to go from Pasadena to Big Bear Lake. Unfortunately, road conditions kept the race away from Pasadena, moved it to the Antelope Valley, and it was a tough stage indeed, with 7 King of the Mountain climbs, 2 intermediate sprints, and that second sprint looked like the toughest climb of the day as we drove up that climb. I mean, it just looked like a wall that was completely vertical in front of us. Very, very tough day indeed at 135.3 miles. After the seventh King of the Mountain climb, there was a relatively flat, although slightly rolling section around Big Bear Lake, and then an uphill into the headwind finish right at the Snow Summit ski area. The day included more than 12,000 feet of climbing. Friday began with a break very early in the day that included some cycling luminaries, including U.S. national champion George Hincapie from BMC, Carlos Barreto from Quickstep, Andy Schleck from Team Saxo Bank, Jason McCartney from Team Radio Shack, Steph Clement from Rabobank, and Jacob Fuglsang, Andy Schleck's teammate from Saxo Bank. We watched that break all day long with both George Hincapie and Andy Schleck looking very strong, seeming to work together most of the day. As I watched them go past time after time, it seemed like either Hincapie was in front of Andy or Andy was in front of George. They seemed to be working very, very well together. Hincapie tested the group just after that intermediate sprint I was talking about earlier in Crestline, California, seeming to try to go off on a flyer and solo to victory. He was eventually brought back. Andy Schleck spit out the back of the break. But with less than 25 kilometers to go, Hincapie's group was brought back. And despite attacks by Mark DeMar, at the end of the day, it ended up in a bunch sprint at the line in Big Bear, once again, a stage being won by Peter Sagan from Team Liquigas. Second across the line, Rory Sutherland, followed by Mick Rogers and then Levi Leipheimer. And it was Michael Rogers who retained the Golden Leaders jersey in Big Bear. Dave Zabriskie still in second place, 4 seconds back. Peter Sagan in third, 9 seconds back. Levi Leipheimer back in fourth at 14 seconds back. And Rory Sutherland in fifth, 29 seconds behind Michael Rogers. Stage seven on Saturday was set as the battle of three world-class time trialers, Michael Rogers, Levi Leipheimer, and Dave Zabriskie. And going into the stage, there was no way of knowing which of those three was going to end up in the Golden Leaders jersey of the 2010 Amgen Tour of California by the time the day was done. It was a 21-mile, two-lap circuit around closed roads in sunny Southern California, around downtown LA, that saw the Staples Center, LA Live, the LA Coliseum, the University of Southern California, City Hall, Disney Concert Hall, just all of the sites of downtown LA. And it was a battle indeed. At the end of the day, however, the stage was won by HTC Columbia's Tony Martin, second place in a phenomenal ride going to Michael Rogers, Tony Martin's teammate from HTC Columbia, allowing Rogers to hold on to the Golden Leaders jersey of this year's event. Third place going to Dave Zabriskie, who could not hide his disappointment as he mounted the third place step for the day on the podium on the main stage in front of LA Live. Tony Martin's time was 41:41, Michael Rogers 42:03, Zabriskie 42:08, Levi Leipheimer 42:14, and Jens Voigt, an extremely respectable fifth place in 43:13. So at the end of the day, Michael Rogers retaining the leader's jersey, Dave Zabriskie just 9 seconds back, sending a quote to the final press conference in downtown LA saying, "It ain't over until the fat lady sings." Levi Leipheimer was in third place at that point. He was 25 seconds back. Jens Voigt, a minute 12 back. And Rory Sutherland, 1:26 back. And that set the stage for Sunday, which many people felt was going to be a celebratory parade route for whoever was holding the leader's jersey at that point. But with Zabriskie trying desperately to gain back that leader's jersey and hold on to it till the end. Levi Leipheimer trying to do the same, Michael Rogers had to do whatever he could to mark those GC guys, stay with them, and protect the jersey at all costs. Now, before Stage 8, JT from Bicycle.net had the opportunity to speak with Rolf Aldag from HTC Colombia. Here's what he had to say about the team's strategy heading into this very important final stage.
We know that Radio Shack, we know that Garmin's going to be throwing everything on these climbs, trying to bust these guys. What do you tell these guys in the bus to prepare them, to keep them ready to counter those attacks and make sure you preserve the 8 or 9 seconds that Mick has this morning?
Well, it's basically hang on, you know. It's basically like don't let them go away. Because if you look at it, we're still in a better position. Yeah, they might attack it, but, you know, we're still 9 seconds ahead. So it's not huge. For sure, we cannot let anybody really go away, especially not Zabriskie or Leipheimer. But it's there. We have an advantage. And the guys showed yesterday they are strong, and the whole peloton is a little bit tired now. So, you know, let's see who's really able to do something. And I think they should be confident, our guys. And for sure, we're nervous. For sure, you know, a lot of things can happen. And we have to see it. It's world-class athletes. Leipheimer won that thing here 3 times, and for sure he's not going to give up that easy. And so is Zabriskie, really focused on that race. So we will wait and see, but we have our chances, and for now we have the yellow jersey, so it gives us a solid position.
You know, yesterday, or 2 days ago, on the Big Bear climb, Tony Martin was on the front all day. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like he pulled and pulled up. He was up there all day. And the fact that he can recover from that and win the time trial, he certainly has the ability to do it, but after that kind of effort, were you guys surprised that he actually was that good yesterday?
Winning by more than by 22 seconds over his teammate, that was really, really huge what he has done. That he could win it, that was clear. I mean, Tony is that guy. We count on him over time to ride GC in a big tour, and then he has to recover and he has to be able to give it a full pull. I think with the day before, he was just like super happy with the situation. Big roads, huge climbs, and he loves it. And he loves it, and he could ride his tempo, and he sees everybody suffering. And you know, he could bring back the attacks, and that's where he got this motivation from. So, you know, after that stage 2 days ago, he said like, oh, that was such a great stage. And I think he was really one of the few one who said that. And I had the feeling, you know, it was not for him to cover like individual riders to say, hey, you have to stay with him, you have to stay with him. He could do his race, he could be a good teammate for Mick Rogers, and I think mentally it was a big relief for him. And the thing then, it was just next day on the bike and give her a hard push, and he did a great job.
You know, he did a phenomenal job and popped people off the back. I mean, some serious Tour de France contenders were popping off the back. You guys certainly have a strong team. Could we see you actually be maybe more aggressive today than, you know, than responsive?
No. We put everything on Mick. That's for sure. We don't try to get anybody in the breakaway. Mick deserves that. I mean, he's a great leader, and he really deserves that. And we try to do everything for him, really. All the focus on him.
Congratulations. Have a great day today.
Thank you.
And so it came down to what was going to happen on the roads in Thousand Oaks, Westlake, and Agoura Hills as the riders began their stage heading out toward the Rock Store climb. A couple of little attacks in the beginning, and then finally a breakaway group formed. And guess who is there once again going for his stage victory? George Hincapie from Team BMC. Now, George was sitting in 18th place at this point, 6 minutes and 3 seconds back. Also going off with him, once again, Carlos Barreto from Team Quickstep. Yaroslav Popovic from Team Radio Shack was there to obviously protect whatever was going to happen out there on the road and make sure that there were opportunities for Levi Leipheimer if he wanted them. Jeremy Vanell from Team Bissell was there. Thomas Raboud from Team Type 1, who's had a great Amgen Tour of California. Also, Oscar Pujol from Team Cervelo and Sebastian Langevald from Rabobank. Most of the break stayed away until the final lap of the day, that 21-mile circuit around the Rock Store climb, Mulholland Highway, and then back down the descent. And it was Very unfortunate for Levi Leipheimer that he ended up having a bike issue. He had a flat just near the bottom of that climb, obviously throwing off his rhythm and tinkering with his plans to try to attack Michael Rogers and Dave Zabriskie and go for broke on the Rockstar climb. He did eventually make it back to the Yellow Jersey group, who was also chasing down the break and closing down their gap. And then the attacking and counterattacking began, starting by Levi Leipheimer, Michael Rogers marking Levi as he started that attack. Dave Zabriskie almost missed it, eventually bridging back to the two, trying his own attacks even at the summit of the climb. Interesting to note that Zabriskie had Ryder Hegdahl with him. Levi Leipheimer had Chris Horner and Popovich with him. Michael Rogers was up there battling alone without a single HTC Columbia teammate in sight. On the way down the twisting descent after that summit near the KOM, Hegdahl and Horner began to bridge the gap between the Yellow Jersey group and Hincapie and his escaping companions. Eventually, it was Hincapie, Pujol, Barreto, Horner, and Hegdahl heading into the finish line together. Hincapie trying desperately to get his stage victory in this year's Amgen Tour of California. By this point, it seemed clear that unless something drastic occurred with Michael Rogers, he would retain the Golden Leaders jersey, as Levi Leipheimer and Dave Zabriskie were with him, but they were far behind the break group, and it was now down to one of the five to win the stage. Barreto led out, Horner tried to follow, Hegdahl came around him, and Hincapie simply didn't have a chance, and it was Ryder Hegdahl from the Garmin squad winning the stage in 3 hours, 21 minutes, and 56 seconds, followed closely by George Hincapie, Carlos Barreto, and Chris Horner. Fifth place went to Oscar Munoz, sixth to Sebastian Langeveld, seventh to Levi Leipheimer, but he came across in the same time as eighth place Michael Rogers and ninth place Dave Zabriskie. Tenth place went to Yaroslav Popovich, but at the end of the day, it was Michael Rogers coming across the finish line, pumping his arm in victory as the new champion of the Amgen Tour of California and the first non-American champion of the race. Floyd Landis having won the first, Levi Leipheimer the next three, and now Australia's Michael Rogers goes into the history book as the winner of the fifth edition of the Amgen Tour of California. And so this is how the top 10 of the general classification came out at the end of this year's Amgen Tour of California. Once again, Michael Rogers, our champion, in 33 hours, 8 minutes, and 30 seconds. 9 seconds back was Dave Zabriskie in second place. Levi Leipheimer, 25 seconds back from Team Radio Shack, in third place. His teammate, Chris Horner, comes in fourth place from Team Radio Shack, 1 minute, 4 seconds back. 1 minute, 8 seconds back, Ryder Hegdahl, the winner of Stage 8. Jens Voigt from Team Saxo Bank in 6th place, 1 minute 44 seconds back. 1 minute 58 seconds back from United Healthcare presented by Maxis, Rory Sutherland in 7th. 8th place going to Peter Sagan from Team Liquigas, having a great Amgen Tour of California, having won 2 stages here this year. He was 2 minutes 6 seconds back. In 9th place, Janusz Brockovich from Team Radio Shack, 2 minutes 42 seconds back. And in 10th place, I'm finally going to pronounce this properly, it was Phil Zajcek, 3 minutes 21 seconds behind race champion Michael Rogers. The best young rider for this year's Amgen Tour of California and someone who has a bright history ahead of him in stage racing, Peter Sagan from Team Liquigas. Our best climber overall this year, Thomas Rabaut from Team Type 1. Second place going to George Hincapie and third going to David Frattini. Fourth place going to Andy Schleck and fifth to Jason McCartney. And finally, the green jersey for points going to Peter Sagan from Team Liquigas. Second place was Michael Rogers. Third was Dave Zabriskie. Fourth, Levi Leipheimer. And fifth, Ryder Hegdahl. Well, with the fireworks over on the roads, it always turns to the comments of the riders and the directors. First up, we got to hear from George Hincapie, who was obviously going for a stage victory today. Here are his comments about the stage.
The crowds were awesome. I mean, it was definitely Tour de France-ish crowds out there running next to us. Seemed like a lot of them were cheering for Team BMC and myself. And this was a stage that I had on my radar as soon as I heard about it several months ago. And you know, I came here hoping I could win a stage, but unfortunately it didn't work out. But I gave it everything I had today, so I got to be happy with that. Stage was brutal. I mean, we flew up the climb the first lap. I mean, this outrageous pace. I think there was 15, 20 guys at the top. And then, well, that was good, I think, because for me, I knew that I needed the race to be hard in order to get in a good breakaway. And I did everything right. I just didn't have the legs to beat Ryder today. He was on a super day, and unfortunately, I couldn't beat him.
Here's Ryder Hegdahl taking us through his stage-winning last kilometer.
You know, I was just, you know, once we, you know, me and Chris made it up to the remainder of the break, I knew I definitely had a shot at the win. So I was just focused on giving, you know, getting myself in the right position and giving it everything I had to the line. So it worked out. You know, the team was awesome right from the beginning today and all week, so to be able to win on the last day against a field like this is really you know, a big highlight for me.
And here are some comments from the man of the day, your new champion of the Amgen Tour of California, Michael Rogers from Team HTC Columbia.
It was certainly a very tough day. You know, we saw from lap one, you know, the pace of the race was very high. Garmin attacked very hard. You know, I was just lucky to have two strong riders in TJ Van Garder and Tony Martin, you know, that kind of controlled the race up until the last lap. And, you know, obviously Radio Shack threw everything they had at me on the last lap, and then over the top also Garmin again. So, you know, it was a tough day for us, you know, I don't deny that, and so excited to to be able to hold on to the golden jersey and win the Amgen Tour of California.
Vic was asked about that important last lap when he was all alone with Radio Shack and with Garmin Transitions, and how that felt to be left out there all alone.
Yeah, certainly. Wasn't always a perfect situation for me, but, you know, having two guys from Radio Shack and two guys from Garmin, you know, I just had to certainly just limit my losses, you know, and just make sure first and foremost that Dave or Levi didn't get away from me. You know, having a bit of time buffer over Ryder and Chris Horn, I was able to let them go. Which kind of made it more of a three-man race, which was something that I could control a lot easier.
Nick was asked about his victory as a whole and which stages he felt were the most important for leading to his ultimate victory.
The key stages, I think, were into the climb up Bonnie Doon, the time trial, the mountain stage. I really didn't expect this stage to be so hard. I don't think anyone did, especially, you know, being a last day. Usually the last day is, you know, not always a walk in the park, but it's kind of not like this either. You know, it was tough out there, and made me sweat to the end.
And finally, Mick was asked what this victory means to him and to his team.
Obviously, riding for HTC Columbia, you know, we're a team that's based here in California. So it's great, of great importance to us. I said in over the previous days that for our team, there's only one race more important than this, and that's the Tour de France. So obviously, you know, that this is a huge result for us. also winning two stages. I think we can really walk away from the 2010 Engine Tour of California with big smiles on our faces, and that's what we'll do.
And of course, if there's one issue that threatened to overshadow this year's race, it was the email allegations that came out earlier this week from Floyd Landis. I had the opportunity to drive three laps around this final course with the Peloton, and the number of signs that I saw at stage 8, the number of signs I saw at stage 7, and at stage 6, all of them indicating disdain and a lack of support for Floyd Landis. The one that I saw the most on stage 8 said Floyd at the top, Landis at the bottom, and in the middle there was a silhouette of a rat. The other signs that I saw, especially at stage 6, both being held and on t-shirts and written on the road, well, unfortunately, this is a family show. I can't repeat what those said. But both George Hincapie and Mick Rogers were asked about those allegations at the final press conference, neither man really wanting to focus on those allegations in particular, but instead wanting to focus on the positive aspects of cycling in general and the way that cycling has stood head and shoulders above many other sports in its stand against doping and in the things that it does to try to maintain a clean sport. So first, here is George Hincapie, and then your race winner, Michael Rogers, both of them on the topic of doping.
But I would like to say that there isn't anybody out there, whether it's, you know, the press, the fans, or U.S. Ottawa, that wants a clean sport more than me. I mean, I'm out there suffering day in and day out. I sacrifice everything, my family. I don't see my kids that much. And when I'm home, I train, you know, 5, 6, 7 hours a day, and I give everything for the sport. So there's nobody out there right now that wants clean cycling more than me. And I believe that, cycling should be an example for all sports. And we do more than any other sport out there. And all the sports should look at cycling and see what they do to make sport clean. There's always going to be people that are going to cheat in life, not only in sports, but I think cycling has done more than any other sport out there.
Listen, guys, I'm getting actually a little bit sick of all this stuff, there's so many great performances, and I just hope that the people see them things, the sport's got to get away from negativity, and I'm not saying that everyone has to pull their weight, from the riders to the management to the race organisers. We all have to do everything we can to get away from the doping issue, because it's killing our sport on a commercial side, and without commercial dollars, cycling doesn't exist. So, but I'd really like to see some positive things, and see the people, which I think they do. Like, you saw the amount of people on the climb today; they still love it, and those are the people that we have to look after.
Well, after the press conference, JT from Bicycle.net had the opportunity to catch up with Bob Stapleton from Team HTC Columbia. Bob smiling from ear to ear with the way that his team has performed this week. JT caught Bob while the press conference was going on, and we wanted to know, not only because this is a home state win, but because of the prestige the Tour of California has gained, how important is this win to him and to his team?
Well, this race is just huge for us at every level. I mean, yeah, we're a California team. We're also an American team, and this is really a race I think every enthusiast in North America follows, probably second only to the Tour de France. I think the biggest thing for us is just the confidence it gives Mick Rogers, Mark Cavendish, the leaders in our team, the riders in our team, headed into the Tour de France. I mean, the teamwork was exceptional. And that's really what sets HTC Columbia apart, is how well the guys work together and sacrifice for the overall team victory.
With the Tour de France coming up in July, and as Bob said, it being such a pivotal race every year, how does the performance of his team, in particular Michael Rogers and Mark Cavendish and Tony Martin, how does that affect their preparations for the Tour de France, and does it catapult them into contention for this year's race?
Yeah, I think this race was key for preparation for the Tour de France, really for all the riders here. Tony was third in World Championships in the time trial last year. He was 12 days in the white jersey against Andy Schleck and really quality riders. But he needed the confidence to know he could ride against the best, and that's why we wanted him to go full on in a time trial. It might have made sense to have him save some energy for today, but we wanted him to have a chance to win something. For Mick, this is huge. He handled some of the top riders and top teams in the sport quite well. We also saw Cavendish, I think, in good form early in the race, and that sets us up well for the Tour. So, you know, each individual rider, this improved them mentally and physically, and the way the team operated is another 5 or 10% on top of that.
One of the things you hear from the smaller teams, the continental teams here at a race like this, when you're going up against international competition, is that they're looking to win stages. They're looking to win sprints and climbs. We're curious about HTC Columbia's progression from that thinking to the mindset of winning entire stage races.
Well, I think for us, we focused really on initially as a team 2 years ago, focusing on winning anything we could, smaller races, stages. Then we wanted to progress to win longer stage races. And we did that last year, won more and more. We won 84 races 2 years ago, 86 last year, won about 25 this year. But we're starting to compete better and better on stage races with our GC riders. So we're always a threat to win a stage. We're deadly competitive in sprints. But now we're showing we can win some stage races and be competitors in big competitive stage races. And that's the exact progression we wanted to make as a team.
And as HTC Columbia has progressed from winning stages and sprints to winning stage races, we've noticed that the entire team has taken on quite amount of bravado, quite amount of confidence, swagger in their step, and wondering how that affects the team dynamic day to day.
Well, I think we really celebrate and reward every victory. Every member of the team wins when someone in the team wins, and it is that confidence where you can come into any day of racing and believe that you can do something. You can be a factor in the race. Maybe you can win. And that carries this team. It carries you through times when you don't win. It carries you through terrible weather. It carries you through crashes. It carries you through, you know, drama in the sport that you've got no hand in, as recently with the Floyd situation. So that confidence and that belief that you can succeed based on your own hard efforts is the essential part of sports. And these guys live that every day.
Well, there you have it, your 2010 Amgen Tour of California. We hope you've enjoyed riding with us from Nevada City down to Thousand Oaks, California. It's been an amazing ride. I want to thank a few people in particular, starting with, of course, JT and Cynthia Liu from Bicycle.net for their amazing access and coverage that they were able to provide to us and to all of you. I also, of course, want to thank Chuck Hodge, the technical director for the Amgen Tour of California, who's always been a friend of the show and an excellent resource for us. Plus, of course, I want to thank the media relations folks at Medalist Sports and AEG Entertainment. Very, very helpful to all of us in the media this week. And special thanks going out to Olympian Steve Haig and former professional cyclist Andy Pollin for providing us with seats in the media car every day and allowing us just the most incredible access. And finally, I want to thank you, our listeners and our readers. If it wasn't for you and for what you've done for Bicycle.net and for the Fredcast.com, we wouldn't have this access. So we want to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to have the access and then to bring the coverage to you of the Amgen Tour of California. It has been a long week, a tiring week, an exciting and exhilarating week, and it has been our pleasure sharing the week with you. We hope that you've enjoyed it, and we hope you'll stick with Bicycle.net and the Fredcast for the rest of the year and the rest of our coverage of the 2010 cycling season and beyond. But for now, from Southern California, on behalf of Bicycle.net, JT, Cynthia Liu, Fredcast.com, this is David Bernstein, thanking you for joining us for the 2010 Daily Tour from the Amgen Tour of California. We will see you all again soon. So long. Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Daily Tour Podcast, brought to you by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast at www.thefredcast.com and powered by the resources of Bicycle.net. If you'd like to comment on today's show, please send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com or to jt@bicycle.net. This is your host, David Bernstein, from the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. So long from the 2010 Amgen Tour of California, and thanks for listening.